Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. We have made it, my friend. It's Masters week. We're going to preview the 2025 Masters as usual. You can find me on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. It finally made it. It's good. So it's
yes. Masters time. Yeah, fucking A, man. It's one of the best weeks of the year. Kick off to the golf season and one of the best tournaments of the year, so I'm ready.
Yep. It's raining in Augusta today, so I guess what's to clear up the rest of the week, and it's going to dry out and turn into a disaster for the golfers come this weekend, but we'll get to that soon enough. Houston, or the Valero Texas Open, I should say. Brian Harman waggled his way to another victory. Any thoughts on that? Because the 6-6 numbers were insanely low. With some big boy miscuts this week.
Yeah, Ludwig, probably number one on that list. It's the Valero Texas Open. It's hard to get into it, especially when like it's Brian Harman, the three or four shot lead or whatever he had going into Sunday. So I did watch it. I had a future on, or I had a bet on Gerard, which was live for about 15 seconds until I texted some friends about it. And then he immediately went just full Rams, as they say. So that was frustrating. But yeah, Brian Harman, I mean, just play as slow as possible, shoot three over and still win by three. So that's not fun golf.
No, it's like I like Brian Harman mainly because he's a lefty. I respect my boys, but sure. It's a tough watch for sure. I appreciated it more when he was in the British Open just because how much it ticked everybody off over there. That was very entertaining to me, but this did not need to happen, basically, as you'd say. So I got the dub. He's going to Augusta. He's already what he was going to Augusta, but you know what I mean there. Live Golf Doral, that was actually a fun watch. I didn't get to watch as much of the final round, but the beauty of it being on Fox now, unlike TGL, they do replays. So I get to watch Live Golf even if I miss it.
And, they replayed it later at night?
Yeah, because I could watch it live or it'd be like on FS1 or FS2 in a replay. Like it would, so on YouTube TV, it would show up as things I like because I know I like golf, and it was right there. It's freaking awesome. So that was a plus for me.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun initially until Bryson
choked.
Yeah, I mean, literally choked it away. I mean, good for Leishman. You know, at 4-under on Sunday is pretty awesome. Charles Schwartzel 6-under on Sunday is pretty good. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, it obviously the names were better initially, and the golf course was definitely funner to watch. Did you watch the duels that they had with the creators?
No, I did not, but I heard there's some controversy to that because one PGA Tour player took part in that and whatnot. So well,
technically two, if you get both of Brian Groves.
Yes, it's
true. Yeah, at this point, if I was Wesley, I wouldn't really give a shit. They gave $150,000. Yeah, they gave $150,000 to the winner there. Like, why would you not go play in that?
I concur.
But that was, it's actually pretty good. It's like an hour and a half long or something. It's on Grant Horvath's channel. But if you like golf, I mean, no commercials if you got YouTube Premium. And they showed a lot of golf shots, so pretty nice.
I'll have to check that out because, yeah, I heard good things. And then I heard the part like, oh, they just want to be like PGA because they just had the Creator Classic. It's like, people stop acting like it's a war. Like, right. They actually want to be a part of the PGA, but they won't let them. So, like, let's just get over that at this point to teach their own, I guess, on the whole system there. But eventually we have to move on this one.
I'm with you.
So, I'll check that out. That'd be a really cool thing because I think the LIV personalities are a lot better than the PGA personalities. I think it's fair to say. And that could make it good, but you've seen it. I haven't.
Somewhat. They didn't have Bryson on there, which I think was a miss, but and like miss. Sergio's blah, Cam Smith is blah. Okay. But you know, you had Phil, DJ is DJ, but so, it was good. It was good stuff. It was, they went into a playoff. So it's actually good to watch.
It was like watching half the TGL where they're just like, okay, this is boring as shit, except for the three of you.
Right.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. I'll check it out for sure. But let's not waste any more time. Actually, real quick, did you see who won the senior tour this week?
Yes. is quite amazing.
Is he the name of it, what putter he's using?
No.
He's using the Odyssey jailbreak putter.
Oh yeah, jailbird. Yeah,
yeah. The jokes write themselves.
They do. Yeah, we've got a guaranteed winner when we get to the end of the show on hell. So we'll get there. It's free money according to somebody.
Free money. I can't wait to see what this is. Mm-hmm. All right, but yeah, that was interesting to see him actually take that home with all the, I guess, talks about him and should he be allowed and shouldn't he type situations. Last thing I'll say, and this kind of leads into the Masters. I know you follow him, and Mayo had Michael Kim on over the weekend or something, but Michael Kim's Twitter is always pretty good. Right now, it's amazing. Have you been watching his like daily Masters diaries?
I have not been paying attention to that, no.
But he types them up at the end of each day, talks about the rounds, the dining, the everything. He went going shopping in line with the regulars. there's a lot, but he said at the Masters, this kind of made me laugh because you look at like the locker rooms, like when we watch Netflix, they all have like three lockers, it seems like, for every guy and stuff. At the Masters, unless you're a champion, you have to share a locker with a professional golfer. You're sharing. So he's sharing one with JJ Spahn, and he said, apparently Spahn went to buy stuff before I did because he spent his entire player's salary in the locker, just loaded.
I was like, good Lord. I didn't know that part. That is an interesting little fact.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Like, he actually shared a locker as a professional athlete. Was like, huh, interesting.
Yeah.
I guess the last thing would be close to you. Like, how far is Augusta from you? Like 4, 5, 6 hours?
6 or 7, yeah. I think.
Do you see the Tiger Woods news?
I did, yeah. Is that public track or is that?
It should be, because even before they finished talking, I was watching the presentation. It sounds identical to what he built the Pebble.
Oh.
It's called the Hay. It's a 9-hole par 3 right out. It's like where you park a Pebble. If you go to see it, this area you walk through is now a 9-hole like par 3 to get into Pebble, basically.
Yeah, I didn't read everything about that today. I was busy at work, but if it's a public course, I mean, can only imagine how that would work. I figured it was just another addition to Augusta for.
I would assume it's public by the way they talk, but you might be right at the same time. But it seems like because it's in association with like the STEAM program for kids and this other stuff, so it feels like it's they're trying to. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe it is.
You probably are right the way things go in Augusta.
Could be. We'll look into it.
All right. Enough of that. You guys want the picks. Good or bad, but you want the picks. So let's get into it here. Why don't you give us a past event history for the Masters, which obviously we have plenty of.
Yeah. Last year, Scottie Scheffler was the winner, 11 under, 4 shots over Ludwig. 2023 was John Rahm, 12 under, 4 shots over Brooks Koepka and Phil. 2022 was Scottie Scheffler for the first time, 10 under, 3 shots over Rory. 2021 was Hideki, 10 under, 1 shot over Will Zalatoris. 2020 was Dustin Johnson in the fall, COVID year, 20 under, 5 shots over Sungjae and Cam Smith. 2019 was Tiger for the fifth time, 13 under, 1 shot over DJ, Brooks, and Xander. 2018 was Patrick Reed. 2017, Sergio, Danny Willett. 2016, after Jordan choked it away, Jordan Spieth won in 2015, Bubba Watson's won this twice. Adam Scott, past champion. Charles Schwartzel, who played really well on Sunday over on LIV, as 2011 champion. Phil Mickelson's won this 3 times. Angel Cabrera, 2009 champion.
That's why he's here. Mm-hmm. That's why. As long as he wants to be, which is one of the dumbest rules I've ever seen. But
I think it's cool.
I think it's cool, but I hate the fact that it diminishes the field, in my opinion.
Well, it doesn't really, because it's going to be limited no matter what. So I mean, like, I know what you're saying, but I mean, to me, like, I don't know, you know, you see what's his name, Bernhard Langer, who won it,
he's 41st
1954 year or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he makes the cut. Freddie used to make the cut all the time. Not so much anymore, but I think it's one of the cooler things that they allow you to come back and play.
I think it should be a rule. Like after like 5 or 10, whatever missed cuts in a row, then you're out. Like if you go like 6 and then you make the cut again, okay, it resets. But you got to keep like be somewhat competitive, I guess. I don't know.
I'm with you.
I'm also just a cranky old man that says get off my lawn. So, yeah, I'd rather see Ben Griffin and some of these guys, in my opinion, than Angel Cabrera. But I can't wait to hear the must win on that one later on. The golf course, I am not going to get into the long diatribe of what Augusta National is, because I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this, you have a good clue of what Augusta National is. But for those that don't know, Alistair McKenzie designed this course way back in the day, par 72, almost 7,600 yards. They continue to lengthen it more and more, and the place plays much longer because there's dog legs, the actual way they – it's a great way to mess with the rollback ideas is the way they do things here. They mow the grass in different directions to prevent the ball from rolling out. So it takes away distance off the tee at times. A lot of undulations in the fairways that also makes that difficult, especially when you're hitting your next shot when it's above your feet. So now you got to club up or do whatever you're doing or lay up. And they've made it a point to have to make some – they give you a bailout on every hole with these new additions. But at the same time, if you want to be aggressive, you got it, but you can get penalized. Not a ton of rough, but, you know, it goes into the pine needles and pine straws, and you have the tree-lined fairways that are gettable. I guess not like, difficult, but it's more the undulations that mess with you and the approach. Bent grass greens that run close to 14 on the stem. A lot of slope on the greens, one might say. That's one of the biggest things you hear these guys talk about. The reason why debutants don't win is because the greens just destroy you. Basically, if you're not used to them, also around the green, it's super thin, tight lies that if you miss the green, it's going to run off. The way they mow the lawn, it runs off. It doesn't catch for you. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. A lot of decisions have to be made. Do you want to lay up for an easier wedge in, so on and so forth? But the other thing is you'll hear all the names like Amen Corner. You got Ray's Creek. You got all the cool things that Augusta is, but we've seen the course a million times. If you're in the fairway and your long iron game is good, because you need long iron game to be very good here, you'll have a chance, but then the short game comes into play. And if you have no short game, you can go home on Friday afternoon, basically. So what do you have for us for what you're looking for this week, Jesse?
Yeah, it's not super penalizing off the tee. I mean, obviously, you can't miss it way off. I mean, if you do, sometimes you get into the trouble as far as obviously being in greens, being on pine straw, but generally speaking, it's not super penal off the tee. Around the green is, like you said, I think you hit it spot on there. It's where you can lose or gain a lot of shots. I think par five scoring is a big factor this week. The par fives here are they have lengthened them, but they are still very gettable, and that's where, like, you know, obviously you look at the last few years of scoring here, 11, 12, 10, 10. So it's not, you don't have to shoot 65 every day. A 65 will put you in contention most likely. But it's one of those courses where as long as you're, you know, parring a lot of par fours and the par threes, which can be very tough. If you're making birdies on the par fives, you will be in the mix come Sunday.
Yep. I completely agree. We've seen some very, very low numbers here, but usually it feels like it's in that 12, 13 range more often than not. Maybe it gets up to 16, but like you were saying, when you gave out all the goodies earlier. All right, let's get after it. Let's talk some DK picks for the week. And I got a little bit of ownership already, so we'll kind of mention that from time to time, but it's still super early. A lot of things will change as the weather continues to change. Like I said, Monday, as we're recording, course is essentially shut down due to weather, but it's supposed to basically clear up and get dried out as the week goes on. But in the 10K range, we have three golfers technically, and then two way above that, but five golfers in this range. Scottie Scheffler at 12-4, Rory McIlroy at 11-1, Ludwig at 10-8, Morikawa at 10-5, Johnny Rahm at 10-4. Where are you going here?
So I'm going to be heavy Rory. I think it's his year. I think he's got the form coming in, you know, fifth, first, 15th, 17th first in this calendar year. So he's got two wins. And it reminds me a lot of Scotty last year. Obviously, he won. But his form coming in, and he wasn't whatever he injured. I don't know what that injury was, but earlier this year. But anyways, last year coming into this event, he was previous, right? Just like right behind, right before the Masters, second, first, first, 10th, third, sixth, 17th. So, you know, he was playing more than Rory, which Rory doesn't ever really play as much. And Scotty will probably play more of a Rory schedule going forward. But I just got a feeling, man, it's Rory's year. This would complete the Grand Slam for him. And it just feels like everything is just kind of lining up for it to be Rory. Obviously, Scotty is Scotty, so I totally understand if you play him. My next choice is Colin Morikawa at 10-5. His recent recent tournament history is 3rd, 10th, 5th. So the last 3 years, he hasn't finished outside the top 10. And you know, coming in here, he finished 10th at the Players, 2nd at the API, 17th at the Genesis. This is a place where if the winning score is 10 under, Colin Morikawa can win it. You know, if we get to the 16s, if it's playing easier, I don't think Colin can win. But those are the two guys up top here that I really like the most.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Scotty take. Like, it can always be Scotty. I think we're all very, very aware of that. But I'll have a couple in my 20 max, but I'm not going to go overweight on him. I'd rather pay for Rory at A. He's coming in $1,300 cheaper, and I'm with you. It's just going to be – usually I'm not a Rory guy. But it's the way he's played this year, kind of with the attitude's been different. It's just like you kind of want him to win this time around. So it's going to suck on Sunday if, like, things are bad. It's going to suck on Friday if things are really bad for Rory. But I'm with you. If you're paying up, Rory's the guy who's fourth in my model. We talk about par five scoring here. Like you mentioned, he's second in this field. Driving distance, he's fourth. His long iron play has been pretty good. 13th in bogey avoidance, which is clutch here. So, yeah, I'm a big Rory fan with you as well. Colin does rate out extremely low. He's first in approach in this field of us, 24 rounds. So I get all of your angles here. And his course history is phenomenal at this golf course, as you mentioned. But I kind of want to play some John Rahm. He's a 10-4. He's been a top five machine at LIV, which, you know, whatever you guys want to say about LIV, I get it. But he's at least playing well every week when he's out there in an actual tournament of golf. And, you know, he's finished 45th here last year, but first, 27th, 5th, 7th. He knows his course very, very well. And I think he might be kind of the odd man out in this group. If you're him and Ludwig might be the odd guys out. So I'd be leaning Rahm, but now that I look at ownership, he's not the odd man out. Ludwig is. He's the second, yeah, so he's the next one out. But I think Rahm's got some merit to him as well. It's tough to take on most of these guys up here outside of Rory McIlroy first.
100%. You know, after we watched the Netflix deal, what's it called?
Full Swing.
Full Swing, thank you. I was like, oh, God, Ludwig. I forgot how good he was last year at the Masters. Forget how good he is with his 7-wood. But back-to-back missed cuts, man, coming into the Masters, you can't make the cut at the Texas Open.
They say no one's ever won since missing the cut the week before they played the Masters.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I don't know, man. And you know just well as I do, if you're up here in this 10K range, you're rostering one of these guys, they need to win the golf tournament. So,
Yep, and there's a lot of really good golfers. Like, if it's not Scotty or Rory, like, you can make a case for a ton of dudes in the next two ranges to win the golf tournament.
100%. So
you just got to plant your flag, basically. Do you want to go all in with the big dogs? Or do you want to kind of balance things out and you know, shoot your shot with somebody else is what it comes down to. 9K range, you got Bryson at 99, Xander at 97, JT at 96, Matsuyama at 95, Brooksy at 94, Neiman at 93, Vic at 92, Fleetwood at 91, and Spieth at 9,000. They could have priced him at 10-5 and people would still playing because it's Augusta. So a 9,000 Spieth just feels insanely chalky, which I obviously I keep saying that I have it in front of me. Not too bad just yet. One of the chalkiest in the 9K range, but not too bad, actually.
Yeah.
What do you like here?
Start with Xander at 97. You know, I don't know what kind of injury concern there is, if there is still any with him. His last three tournaments are 12th, 72nd at the Players, and then 40th at the API. He doesn't, you know, he's not really flashed that form this year, but his, you know, course history, 8th, 10th, miscut, 3rd, 17th, 2nd, 50th. I just kind of feel like he will go under-owned for as good of a golfer as he is at $9,700. JT at 9,600, back-to-back missed cuts at this event, but most definitely coming in much better form than he has been the last couple years. He's kind of figured it out again, come off a second at the Valspar, 33rd at the Players, including that 62 on Friday. And then the API was 36. So I think he's fine. Neiman at 9,300, should be the number one golfer in the world, according to Phil Mickelson. Mm-hmm. However, finished 33rd at Live Miami. So I don't know. Either way, he's made four straight cuts here. You know, I think a lot of these Live guys will go under them. They have the last few years, and I think they kind of will continue to do so. But, I mean, I'm showing 14%, so I'm guessing he's in the 10 to 15% range there, which seems a little bit high for me. And then last but not least, yeah, Jordan Spieth. I mean, it's the Masters. You just never know when, like, this guy's just going to pull a magic rabbit out of his hat. So for 9,000, I would definitely take some chances with Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, for 9,000 on Spieth, just seems like we usually never play Jordan Spieth, but I will have some shares. He's even coming in good form, which is like 12th last week, 28th in Valspar. Like, for Jordan Spieth, that's starting around in the form, right? Scary enough. Yes. And we all know the history at this darn golf course. So, yeah, zero problem with Spieth. I will have some for sure. Fleetwood 1191. Again, this is a course history golf course through and through. And Tommy Fleetwood has been a beast at this golf course. 3rd, 33rd, 14th, 46th, 19th over the last 5 years. He 62nd last week, which is a bit sketch, but 16th, 14th, 11th at the Valspar Players and API. That bodes well for the form of Tommy Fleetwood.
So on Sunday, what was that? 81.
Well, that's why he went out. Okay,
so that's why he had such a shitty week last week.
Yeah, it was like just, he was hanging out for a while, but
yeah. I wouldn't put too much stock in that. It was cold. No, it was windy.
Yeah, I'm not. He played. It was already like, we got Hardman playing for 7 hours. Let's get to Augusta. Yeah. Probably that going through his head. Neiman at 93. I'm gonna kind of want to go that direction. I know he had a bad week at Doral, but obviously he's been playing great. He's already got a win this season on Live. You look at his history at this course, 22nd, 16th, 35th, 40th. He kind of gets better and better almost every year. So I don't mind some Joaquin as well. Hideki's a tough one, Jesse, because he's playing horrific right now, but his history is amazing here at 95. And I think he'll come in virtually he's 8%. He's one of the lowest roster guys in this range. Him and Vic are the only ones below 10% projected right now. So Hideki could be one if you want some leverage in this range. And then Xander at 97. I've waited since he's returned, and I'm going back now. I'm ready to play some Xander this week. 8th last year, 10th missed cut, 3rd, 17th. So 4 out of 5 made cuts, 17th or better in those made cuts. 12th at the Valspar. I'm back in on Xander. So let's have some fun. And I think that's one reason why you can skip the range up top and see where it goes from there.
So neither one of us are touting Bryson.
No. I won't do it. I know. And you know what's crazy? I was going to say it is that my model, because the only Live stats I have are from majors, obviously, with Fantasy National.
Sure.
Bryson is second in my model because that's how well he played in the majors last year.
Yeah, he did play really well.
That's insane. Like, if you just for his last 24 rounds, he's first off the tee, first in driving distance, 9th in bogey avoidance, 4th in the par 4. Like, he just crushed everybody. But
yeah,
I don't know. I can't do it if it's firm and fast and around the green just eats. Like, that's literally his approach game is always up in the air, and his long iron game is weak. But it's like 3-putt avoidance over the last 24 rounds. He's 86 in this field, which is pretty much dead last.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It just scares me. So we move on.
Yeah, he could. But yeah, if you want to play the leverage, you can. But honestly, I'm surprised. He's 12% potentially rostered in this field. So that did surprise me a little bit. All right, 8K range. You got Lowry at 88, Cantlay at 87, Hatton at 86, Minwoo at 85, Henley 84, Zalatoris 83, Cam Smith 82, Bhatia 81, Bobby Mack 8,000. I would literally be willing to play almost everybody in this range. I'm not kidding. All the one stars.
Yeah, this is the classic Masters. I mean, this is not what we're used to week in and week out. Even with the elevated events on the PGA Tour, like, this is, yeah, just an absolute treat. Shane Lowry, you know, hasn't missed a cutter since 2019. Eighth his last time out, 20th time before that. I think he's most definitely playable. Henley at 8,400, hasn't missed a cut going all the way back to 2014. 39th last year, fourth the year before that, coming off a 30th at the Players, won the API, sixth at the Cognizant. So he could be very sneaky. Zalatoris at 8,300, three out of three made cuts here, never finished outside the top 10. And really, I mean, like last year coming in to the Masters, yeah, I mean, a little better. He had a couple top 10s. He doesn't have any top 10s this year, which is a little sketch, but I think he is fine. And then Robert McIntyre, 8,000, lefty, your boy. Sure. Two out of two made cuts here, 23rd and 12th in the last two starts. Back-to-back top 10s for him, including the Singapore Classic a couple weeks back. The Players' Championship finished 9th, 11th at the API. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm – you're right, this is a really good range, like – I can't click on Hatton has got plenty of good course history. Minwoo coming off a win. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to like in this range for sure.
Yeah. Lowry is one of my favorite plays in this range. He's 13th in my model. Again, it's kind of how you said about Morikawa. If it plays like 9-10 under, that's Chain of World. That's what he does. The lower, he's won some big events like in Europe, but more often than not, like Tonda Classic, it's those low scoring, hit your spots, approach it in type tournaments. So I like Lowry. He's finished 43rd last year, but 16th and 3rd, 21st, 25th. So four of the last five events, he's been 25th or better at this golf course. That's pretty good stuff there from Shano. Eighth at Valspar, 20th at Players, 7th at API, coming in phenomenal form. So love me some Shane Lowry this week. Cantlay, I'm actually quite interested in as well. He proved me a lot last week, actually, in Valero, when I think we both said, like, nah, not a chance. Finished 33rd, but again, he kind of disappeared on Sunday, apparently. 12th at the Players, 31st at the API for Cantlay. More impressive to me when I was digging in, 22nd here last year, 14th, 39th, miscut 17th. So three top 25s in the last 5 years for Cantlay. He's contended, at least in that regard. Love Hatton, current form's a little sketch, but history here is phenomenal, as you mentioned. Minwoo has already got the dub, and you know, two out of three miscuts or made cuts, 22nd to 14th. Love that. Henley, like, if there's ever a golf course that benefits a guy like Henley in his approach game, he's already won once this year. We could go that direction. Cam Smith's got the history if we want to go that angle. Same with Willie Z, like you mentioned. I did the same thing. You're like, wait a minute. And because all of his finishes are freaking awesome, which really, really kind of took me for a loop on that one. Outside of Lowry, Bobby Mack's probably my favorite player. 23rd and 12th in his two trips to Augusta. He hasn't played here the last two seasons. Ninth at the Players, 11th at the API, like two very tough golf courses. He got it done. He can play in all conditions, no matter what the weather does. We know how lefties benefit at this golf course. Like, love me some Bobby Mack at $8,000. All right, 75 to 79. It's a short group. Corey Connors, Tony Finau, Wyndham Clark, Sahith, Day, Straka, Kim, and DJ. Who do you like here?
Start with Corey Connors at 79. Course history is pretty decent. 35th, miscut, 6th, 8th, 10th, going back to 2020. So it's pretty solid. 18th last week, 8th, 6th, 3rd in the 3 weeks prior to that. He made a little bit of a run on Saturday at the Valero Texas Open and then absolutely shit on himself on 17 and 18 to really just take himself out of contention and then shoot 74 on Saturday or Sunday. Tony Finau at 7,800. He's never missed a cut here going back to 2018. That's as far back as the data that I have. Back-to-back made cuts for Tony. Missed a cut at the Players. Just kind of going along. But he did play well at Genesis, which was at a different golf course this year. A lot of times the Genesis, which is played typically at Riviera, is a good comparison, or at least comp for the Masters. But it's not this year because they played it at Torrey Pines. Thank you. And then last but not least, Sepp Straka at 7,600.
three out of three made cuts, 16th here last year. Four straight made cuts for him on tour. He's got a win this year. I know it was the American Express, but it is a win. Dude's been, you know, just ball striker extraordinaire. The only sketch part is the short game with Sepp. So he's GPP only by far, but that's where I'm looking at here in this range.
Yeah, we're pretty much on the same page on this one. For me, I love Corey Connors. Again, it's the approach. I had a lot of Corey Connors. He was my one and done last week, so that was a fun Sunday to see him just completely wet himself as he was up to third place at one point on Saturday. But love me some Connors at 79. Jason Day at 76 is one I'm kind of buying into as well. 27th at the Houston Open, 8th at the API. Overall playing decent golf this season. We know he found his game again last year. 30th and 39th the last two trips here to Augusta, so not a bad $7,600 play. Love Straka, 16th here last year, for crying out loud, and the form is insane. So those are the three guys I like in this range, but like Sepp quite a bit. Like, I like a little hefty line. Like, maybe Sepp and Bobby Mack and Lowry, let the big boys eat, is kind of what's shaping up for me right about now. 7K to 74 starts with Burns and Fitzpatrick and goes all the way to Cam Young, Davis Thompson, and Keegan Bradley. What do you like in this range?
Not a lot. Maybe you can talk me into some guys. This is kind of the bad form range. I don't really know how else to call it here. But Adam Scott at 7,200, past champion, 2013, hasn't missed a cut here since at least going back to 2018.
15 years.
He has not is that how long it's been?
That's what I heard earlier today. Yeah, 15 years.
Wow. That's insane.
Yes, it is.
I don't like him to win the golf tournament, but I do like him to make the cut at least. 57th at Valspar, missed the cut, the Players, but before that had a long cut streak before that. So Adam Scott, and you know, course knowledge, you know this as well as I do, course knowledge around this place is worth its weight in gold. Keegan at 7,000. So Keegan hasn't missed a cut here since 2014. He's made five in a row. His best finish was last year, which is the same as it was in 2015, 22nd. So again, not a guy who I expect to win, but Keegan's got that, you know, just that fire sometimes where he can, you know, he wants to obviously make the team as for the Ryder Cup and then also be the captain. So I just feel like he's got some extra motivation this year. He's been playing pretty well. Look at the API, fifth there, kind of a tougher track, 20th at the Players. So those are the only two in this range that I'm willing to click on at this moment.
For me, Patrick Reed, he's actually playing really well this season on LIV. He's been a T20 machine at Augusta at $7,300. He's actually 22nd. My side, he actually played decent in the majors as well. But if you just look at the recent history here, 12th, 4th, 35th, 8th, 10th over the last 5 years. Like, he just is one of those guys who just knows the golf course. And it's a boring analysis, but that's what he does. So
past champion too, yeah.
Yeah, so Reed at 73, I have zero problem, especially because his around the green game is so good. That's what helps him kind of hang around at this track. Adam Scott, I'm with you. I don't think he wins, but it's hard to ignore the made cut streak. It's going to come to an end someday, but he has been playing just good enough to basically keep making cuts right now. So I don't know if he's your GPP winner, but if you want to help get your 6-6 odds up, he might be your guy, or we just jinxed it. You decide. Daniel Berger, he's 7th in my model, $7,100. This guy's coming in great form right now. 30th last week, 20th, 15th. He seems like he's so close to winning every week, and he has like one 9-hole stretch. It just destroys him. That could hurt here more than anything. Hasn't played since 2022 when he finished 50th, missed cut prior to that. So, like, course history is not great for Berger, but the form is awesome. Matt McNeely, surprisingly, has never played here. That shocks me.
Yeah, that shocks me as well. Yeah,
you figured just that guy would be here, but
did you see where he moved into 10th in the world?
Really?
Yeah, world golf ranking. That's what I saw. I swear.
Wow, he's been playing. He's been playing really well. Like, the fall swing was good, and the start. Like, he's picked up a dub.
Yes, he is officially 10th in the world.
Wow, but he flew to the top. If you know what I mean. but yeah, I have bad dad jokes. I apologize. But yeah, McNeely at 71. Guy's never played here, but coming in great form. Like I said, great fall swing and early start to this season. So don't mind him. The only other guy, Sergio, if you want to do the course history, and he's actually playing well on LIV to start the year. Sergio at 71 is another one. And then I'm with you on Keegs. Keegs, like, he's a grinder. If it's a tough situation, like course, he can play well. 47th at Valero, 20th at Players, 5th at the API. It's what Keegan does. Like, he's finished 22nd and 23rd the last 2 years. That's probably like three or four shots away from a top five is what that comes down to. And I know three or four shots is a lot of shots, but at the same time, as a golfer, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, he's that's how close he is to making a big difference. So in a tournament, I think Keegan at 7K is a pretty strong play as well. All right, 6K range, which will have options because of the field here. What do you like?
Yeah. So Højgaard, Nikolai Højgaard at 6,900, 16th here last year. Three straight missed cuts for the guy, though, coming into the event. Sketches all get out. JJ Spaan at 6,800, 23rd here in 2022, which was his only appearance. He's coming off a missed cut in Houston, but second at the Players, second at the Cognizant. So he's got some. He's flashed some form this year. Michael Kim at 67. He missed the cut in his only appearance in 2019. However, you know, we talk about week in, week out. You know, he's one of those guys who just is playing better overall than he ever has in his life. Phil Mickelson, $6,700. When's the last time Phil missed a cut here?
I don't know the exact numbers, but
previous to 2017, he didn't play in 2022, but he finished second in 2023. He was in contention in Miami last week. He finished third in Hong Kong, all LIV golf events. Last year, you know, he missed two out of the four cuts on the for the majors, but I think at 6,700, he is most definitely worth, you know, clicking on at least a couple times. Chris Kirk at 6,600, 16th and 23rd in his last two starts at the Masters, coming off a missed cut at Texas. Pavon at 6,400. He finished 12th here last year and has made two straight cuts, missed the cut at the API, but had made four straight before that. And then I got Adam Schenck clicked off here for at 6,300, finished 12th here last year, but has missed four consecutive cuts on tour. Charles Schwartzel, 6,200, past champion, had made four straight cuts prior to the miscut last year, but then obviously he's come off the second place finish where he shot 66 last week in Miami on the LIV Golf Tour. So maybe worth a shot there. I mean, you never know about some of these guys. Like Bubba could make the cut, maybe potentially. I don't really know. Yeah, that's it. I'm just going to end it there. Charles Schwartz would be my last pick down there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some, yeah, do you want the form or the history? Benny On is one that tilts me pretty much every single week because we know how good he can be and then how bad he can trunk slam at the same time. But he's coming in good form. Valspar, 16th, 52nd at the Players, 8th at the API. So three made cuts in two trickier events. Finished 16th last year, hasn't played there, and then 2021 missed cut, so he had 3 years off. 16th last year, so Benny On is one. 100% with you on Phil. It's boring, it's annoying, but it's what he does here. So go get him. Lucas Glover at 66, finished 20th here last year, 30th in 2022, so two top 30s in his last few trips over to Augusta, coming in with an 8th, a 3rd, and a 36th in his last three events. Valspar, Players, API. So don't mind some Glover. Harris English, he's got a win this year, finished 18th at the Houston Open, 30th at the Players for his last two times teeing it up. And he's made three straight cuts here, including a 22nd and a 21st. So don't mind English. JT Poston's finished 30th and 34th here the last two seasons. He's a Georgia boy, if you want to get narrative street there. But he's finished 26th, 28th, 33rd, 50th in his last four events. So making cuts, getting stuff in. A guy I continue to play because I think he's underpriced every week, and I know he was really bad for a portion earlier this year, but it's Tom Hoge. Finished 5th last week, 3rd at the Players, 40th at the API. Like, if we're talking long iron play, that's a Tom Hoge thing. It's an approach game for him. A lot of his other parts of his game can be sketchy as heck at times, and that's why he probably is priced down here, but he's got win equity at the same time. Missed cut in 2023, 39th in 2022, so pick your poison there. I had Pavon checked off as well. And that is where I will end my diatribe of the 6K range. All right, let's recap things. 10K range, who you got?
Rory.
to be different, I will go John Rahm, 9K range.
That's tough to just pick one. I'm going to say Jordan Spieth.
Okay, I'm going to go Xander Schauffele, 8K range. I've tried picking one here.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm going to say Russell Henley.
Yep, I'll go Shane Lowry. All right, 75 to 79.
Sep.
That is the play. I'll take Corey Connors, 7K to 74.
I'm going to say Adam Scott.
I'll go P. Reed, 6K range.
Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, that's a fun one. I'm going to go with Tom Hoagie, go for the gusto on that one. I wouldn't recommend cash this week. I don't know about
you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like
E50 and ties get through. So just
right. The 6-6 percentage. I mean, it could be like 1 year. I remember, I think it was 2015. It was really low because a lot of chalk missed a cut because of some weather. I don't see that happening this year. So it's sketch to play cash this week. It's very difficult. Because you can build a great cash lineup and you just like feel like, oh, there's no way in the world that this loses. But then 6-6 is 50% and one of your guys shits himself on Saturday and it's over.
Yep. Curtains on that one. So then how would you start your tournament lineup?
Yeah, I'm going Rory. I think Russell Henley and then Keegan.
Yeah, I'm going to just do what I did on the show. Give me Lowry. Give me Bobby Mack. Give me Sep. And then you can decide if you want to go 10K or 9K and 7. Like you can pick your poisons around that. But I like that little window of the big boys. All right. With that being said, who do you got winning this thing?
So I've placed three bets so far, two of which were parlayed with Florida to win the national championship after the Elite Eight. So they were plus 300. So I've got currently, I have Rory with assuming Florida wins tonight. If they don't, then I'm just absolutely fucked. But I got Rory at 29-1. So that's
outstanding though.
Yeah, if pretty you can nice.
Pull that off.
Yeah. And then I got Colin Morikawa at 75-1.
Whew.
If Florida wins tonight. And then, another bet that I made today was Sep plus Florida to win, which I just could get the money line tonight, which is minus 115. So, but that moved that from 75-1 to 141-1. So those are the three that I have at this moment. I really like Rory. So like,
yeah, I love that 29-1 for Rory is pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, obviously if that hits, that would be insane, but yeah, it's just hard not to bet one of these guys, basically like Jordan Spieth and above, you know what I'm saying? Like 35 and above. I don't see a long shot winning. Could be completely wrong. If you wanted to bet Henley at 55, I wouldn't talk you out of it. I just don't know that he wins this. Sep at 75, I think is good value. I just think that's a really long shot. But
yeah, like I've heard a lot of Lowry, a lot of Henley, a lot of Sep picks out there. But then I think it was Mayo's or somewhere else. I was listening today. I think said there's rarely ever a winner that's not ranked 18th or better in the OWGR at the Masters. Like long shots rarely ever come through here.
Yeah.
They've come close, but they rarely ever finish the job. And not saying they can't, because like after those big dogs, it is kind of up in the air. But it does say a lot to.
I mean, the cream usually rises to the top here. Scotty was a favorite.
You need a full skill set to win here.
Rahm was a favorite. Scotty Scheffler, I mean, like. I think Hideki was a little bit more of a long shot, maybe in the 40s when he won. DJ was a favorite.
He's probably still like top 15 in the world, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, right.
So that wasn't
Tiger crazy. At the Tiger that 2019 year when Tiger won, it was just out of nowhere. I think he was 100 plus to win that year. Patrick Reed was playing really good golf going in. Sergio was the same. Danny Willett was a 66-1, but
he was 11th in the world. They were talking about it.
That's crazy
because of the DP World Tour.
Yeah. And Jordan Spieth, obviously. I mean, like it's just one of those places where the cream does rise to the top. So, but I mean, top 20 odds can be a little bit sketch just because the field is so small. But there's some value there. I'm sure you got some plays there.
I got three. P. Reed at plus 180 because he just pretty much makes top 20s here every single time. Keegan at plus 220. Like I said, he was 22nd and 23rd the last 2 years. It's one stroke. One stroke and he finds his way in there. So I'll take the plus 220 on that. And Sepp at plus 170. Like, as much as we like Sepp, to get him at plus 170 to top 20, I like that quite a bit as well.
Yeah, I think that's probably where you really should put more of your money, is into the top 20 on for most of these guys, or even if you want to get really frisky, top 10s.
Yes, yes. But you have an idea, which I think is going to be really fun. You want to make a miss the cut or make the cut? Which one do you want?
Make the cut. Yeah, yeah. We're going to be rooting for these guys to make the cut for sure. So DraftKings, I think in most states, at least in, I know in Kentucky it does, they've got a match bonus. Like, so as long as you make a parlay and it's plus 100 or more, they will match your, like, just automatically give you your money back basically for another bet or whatever. So, but it's just gotta be plus 100 or more. So like the ones that I kind of started as we were going through, especially, you know, I think below that 8K range, is where you can find some value to get a decent parlay here. I got right now, and this is not necessarily what we have to lock in, but Tony Finau, Patrick Reed, Adam Scott, and Phil Mickelson. And that's plus basically 4-1.
Okay, I have one that's a little lighter, but it's five picks as well. I did Corey Connors, Shane Lowry, Bobby Mack, Sepp Straka, and Keegan Bradley. It's plus 358.
All right, let's do that again. So Corey Connors,
Bobby Mack, Sepp Straka.
Where's he at? McIntyre. I'm going to put all these into one. I don't really give a shit.
Yes.
Bobby. That's not his.
Robert McIntyre.
Robert, thank you.
Sorry. I screwed up. I get in trouble a lot with this going slang nickname.
Right, so got those two. Corey Connors, Mack. So
Lowry, Connors, McIntyre, Straka, and Keegan Bradley. It's plus 358.
Lowry and then Keegan. Okay.
All right. Yeah. I wonder what it's like if it combines with yours.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a combination. So it's eight ways. And just to recap, Finau, Mickelson, Patrick Reed, Adam Scott, Corey Connors, Robert McIntyre, Shane Lowry, and Keegan Bradley. And that would be a little over 15-1 there. So.
So Finau, Mickelson, Reed, Scott, Connors, Bradley, and Sepp.
Yep. 1, 2, 3. We did have some guys in the chat, and one of which told me that free money to make the cut on Angel Cabrera at plus 290, coming off the dub.
plus 290. That's awesome.
Yep. And he says, give me a break, Yagoff, on that. And then Phil, which we already locked into the parlay there, and then Longer, he thinks that Bernhard Longer cut a plus 225 on that.
He could, I just don't feel like putting my money on it, but I get it. anything. You know, what's really crazy is Pavon finished 12th here last year. He's plus 105 to make the cut.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
That's one. If you really want to juice things up, yeah, man, he's a lefty too, isn't he? No, he's not.
And I mean, coming in, it's not like he's playing bad golf.
He's not playing horrible. Hoagie at minus 120. There's some interesting names.
He did have a win last year coming into this event, though.
Yeah, he won at Torrey.
Yeah. And then finished third at Pebble, and then, you know, had another top 10. So, like, this year is not the same. He's finishing basically making cuts and just cashing checks. And
you are correct.
You are correct. But I mean, you know, the thing about the Masters that I love, and I think that is different than just about, well, I mean, I think you could probably put all of the majors in the same category, is these guys look forward to this and are prepping for this for so long, especially this particular one, because there's only a month till the next one after this one. But you go here and it's just a different vibe, a different feeling. And that's why course history is just, to me, like, I would plant my flag on course history around this place.
Yep. That's kind of what I was with you on, is if they have really good form and okay course history, I'll take it. But for the most part, they have to showcase they can do something at this
course. Right. And maybe Pavon last year, 12th, flash in the pan, very well could be.
Like Ludwig, like, we know how good he is. So when he finishes top five, it doesn't like shock me as much, I guess. Right. But yeah, to your point, like, I guarantee you when Keegan Bradley first showed up here, it wasn't the most pleasant trip around the sun type situation.
Right. So. 100%. Yeah.
And I will throw this out there. If people don't have DraftKings Sportsbook, Underdog even added make to miss bet props.
Oh, really?
So you, I think you can go up to like, I think you can go up to like eight people now there. I'm going to check that out later. Trust me, because I can do that in California. We're going to have some fun with that one over here. So you can check that out on Underdog. They have a bunch of stuff, I guess, for Masters Week I want to go check out. But they added make and miss cuts on the Masters. So
I got that going. I bet that was some Mayo doing there.
Had to be. Had to be. But I'll take it. Thank you, Mayo, for continuing to lead the way in this world we try to hang out in. So you
can bet that?
Yes, I can do Underdog all the time. Yeah, I have promo codes for that stuff from all my other shows. Yeah. No.
Oh, I know, but I didn't know, like they'll let you, even though you're in a state that you can't typically bet. You can bet that. That's crazy. Okay.
You know, I do Underdog prop bets for like baseball and football and stuff all the time. It's the dumbest.
But you have to parlay them, right? I guess.
Well, you have to do at least two bets. Yes.
Yeah.
So you can't do single bets. To your point. Yes. Right. But it's still stupid. Like state to state. It's
the same thing that I'm doing.
I'm a shit in the world. Like a friend up in like Oregon, he can play like a couple sports on DraftKings, but he can't play other sports on DraftKings. It's just like, what are we doing here, people?
I'm with you, man.
But let's not go down a rabbit hole here because, yeah.
It's a weird place. But, yeah, Masters Week, dude. Let's go.
Yes, let's have some fun. I'm hoping you have the time on. Well, you have TVs in your office, so you'll be good. If worse comes to worse, I have faith in you on that one.
Yeah.
This is the time of year in my truck, I have my iPad out, hooked up to the app, just freaking cruising around the fields, watching the Masters while I'm driving around. Not on county roads, people. Different little situation there. It's all safe, I promise. But we'll wrap it up there. Make sure y'all follow Jesse on the Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast, and always press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick. Enjoy the week, the Masters, but more importantly, it's a good like couple months ahead now because it's like a major a month pretty soon. So let's get after it, have some fun. We'll catch you guys next time.